the San Francisco Experience podcast. Brought to you by Jim Herlihy. Independent commentary from a Silicon Valley perspective for a global audience, featuring newsmakers, thought leaders, and authors. Season 26, Episode 6, Hido, Managing Medication Through AI and Robotics. Talking with CEO Charles Gelman. Hello, Charles.
Hello, Jim.
Our guest today is Charles Gelman, CEO of Hido Health, a company which is working to close the gap in medication adherence for chronic diseases. Did you know that 50% of patients who are prescribed with blood pressure, diabetes, and cholesterol-lowering medications don't take their meds? And 22% of all such prescriptions are not even filled. And that's very expensive. Upwards of $500 billion a year is wasted on individuals who aren't taking their meds, and that's out of a total annual U.S. healthcare budget of about $4 trillion. Potentially higher medication utilization rates could reduce more serious and costly health problems. Hido Health is tackling the problem head-on through a combination of artificial intelligence and robotics. Charles Gelman joins us from his office in Folsom, California. Hey, Charles, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Super excited to be here.
Charles, please take a moment to tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so my background's a little unique from a healthcare perspective. I started off in the banking industry, financial collapse happened, and then I took a major pivot once I had a medical incident that happened in the hospital. I had a ruptured appendix that I didn't almost survive in the hospital, and that altered my complete trajectory. So from banking to healthcare because of an experience. And I think that's probably going to be pretty common with a lot of patients, a lot of people that are listening to this podcast today. Almost everybody knows somebody that's had some type of intervention or experience at a clinic or a hospital. So that road led me down to working for large pharmaceutical companies like Johnson & Johnson. I worked in medical device. I worked in software. And ultimately, I was a mentor at StartX Med, which is a Stanford-based accelerator, and then moved on to starting my own company, which we specialize in AI robotics.
Well, Charles, it sounds as though your health has been restored. You sound fit and hale. And so that leads me to my lead-in question. That's a two-part question. Tell us about Hido Health and its business proposition. But before you do that, let's start with the basic question. Why do so many patients in the United States not take their meds for chronic diseases?
That is a fantastic question. And that really revolves around patients' behaviors. And ultimately, a lot of people that struggle with taking their medications are based upon, can they afford the medications? Mm-hmm. Or if they have the medications in the home, family events happen, life happens, work happens, people forget, people might mix up their medications, they might not pick up certain medications when they have access to them. So there's a variety of different reasons that create this complex variable that exists in the home that's very challenging for people to manage. And by having all these distractions and variables in the home, there's consequences to those actions, which could result in increase of hospitalization, mm-hmm. or emergency room visits, or you have a cascading event from a chronic disease solely because people are missing their medications on a regular basis.
It's amazing. It seems like patients need to recognize the value of medication. You would have thought it was obvious, but as you say, sometimes life intervenes and people get off track. Now, let's come back to Hido Health and, mm-hmm. and the business proposition of the company, because it seems as though if it's costing the U.S. healthcare system an additional $500 billion a year in additional cost because people aren't taking their meds, particularly for these chronic diseases. And I'm not talking about somebody who, you know, maybe skips a dose one day or that kind of thing. I'm talking about people who chronically are not taking the medication that their medical professional has told them will either improve their condition, at least keep it steady and hopefully keep them out of the hospital. So tell us about the business. So you have a an enormous opportunity, business opportunity, it seems to me here, with $500 billion nut of additional expenses that could be cracked. Tell us about the business proposition of Hido Health to confront that $500 billion a year additional expense.
Yeah, so this is, it's pretty fascinating when you start to think about it, because we're actually, we're not in the adherence business, we're in the behavioral modification business. And the behaviors that we're trying to modify is to ensure people can thrive in the home at a fraction of the cost. So you mentioned $500 billion, you know, several times during the podcast, and you're correct. We don't need to be spending this much money on chronic disease if people were stabilized on their medications. And that requires people to alter their behaviors in the home. And in addition to altering those behaviors, once you're stabilized on medications, your vitals, your heart rate, your respiratory rate, your blood work, everything is stabilized. So you will likely not have another incident. So the value proposition of Hido is lowering the cost of care for patients struggling with managing their disease, and we can do that at a fraction of the cost, which benefits patients, but it also benefits the health plans, because the health plans and employers, they're ultimately on the hook for all of these billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. We pay a portion of our health plan fees or premiums, but if we can alter the trajectory, what if, Jim, we could lower the premiums for everybody in the health plan? What if we could share in the savings if we weren't spending so much money on all these unnecessary costs?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I watched the video of the unit, the Hido unit, and it seems like, why don't you describe the unit to our listeners? Obviously, we're not a visual podcast, so we'll have to do it through the powers of description. Describe the unit to our listeners and how easy it is to use, but by the same token, it's also Wi-Fi enabled. This unit talks to the patient's doctors. Doctors can track their taking of the medications, etc. Tell us about the unit itself, so that this might appeal to some listeners who are even listening today.
Sure. So if you're a Star Wars fan, it looks like a miniature R2-D2. We have two cameras on the front. One is a regular camera, the other is an infrared camera. So no matter what color, no matter what lighting situation is, the Face ID does not discriminate. So you can walk up to the unit, it'll unlock for the right person, it'll dispense the right medication at the right time, the right frequency, and the right dosage, and the right count. So the patient doesn't have to remember, is it the right color pill? Is it the right size pill? Is it the right time? Is it the right amount? They simply walk up to the unit. All of that's taken care of for them. It dispenses, and then you take the medication in front of the unit, and it does a video recording. And that video recording is very powerful because it helps people monitor dose by dose whether or not they've taken or missed their medications.
That's such an important factor for anyone who spent time in the hospital. When you're there in the hospital, the nurse comes to your room, it's time for your medication. He or she puts the medication down in front of you. There's a little cup, the pills are in the cup, and the nurse will stand there until you down the medication. So that way the nurse and the doctor can be sure that you've actually taken the medication that they prescribed. And as a result of taking the medication, you're going to be headed down a positive track, a healing track. And it seems as though with the technology that you've employed here in the Hido unit, you've replicated that, the presence of the nurse there at the bedside watching you take your medication. Is that then communicated to your doctor?
Jim, I'm about to hand the keys to the company in your hands, because it seems like you already know our blueprint. So I think we're going to rename the company to a different name after this call is over.
Well, I'm very passionate. I'm very passionate about healthcare. And it just seems to me that if your doctor has come back to you and said, you have diabetes, you have high cholesterol, you have, you know, whatever the other problems are, the other chronic problems that we have modern medicine to deal with, it baffles me why someone would not take that those medications. But again, let's come back to the unit. So we've got cameras. The camera actually photographs you downing the hatch, taking your taking your meds. And how are the meds loaded into the unit? Is that something that the patient has to do, or does somebody do that for the patient?
So this is what's very unique. We have patented technology around this. And imagine if there was a way to put a pill bottle in the back of the unit, and the unit, the Hydo device, it auto-recognizes medication name, dosage, frequency, and count. So patients no longer have to sort or sift their Monday through Sunday pill counter. All of that's done for them. So what's very unique about this, it's a smart AI robotic device that does a lot of the lift and burden that people are currently doing at home. So when we talk about why people are getting confused with their medications or missing their medications or not filling their medications, is because there's a lot of lift that goes in to the patient, and the patient, the burden's on the patient's shoulders to do all of these things, and those get lost in translation. I don't know if you know the last time you've left the hospital or the clinic, but they generally discharge you with, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 pages of directions, and they're complicated, and a lot of the names of the medications, you know, I've been in the business for quite a while, I can't even pronounce. So now you have the audience listening to all these different medications, and they're trying to understand and what to do, and they're confused, and they're trying to get back to being better. It's a very, very challenging predicament that millions and millions of people have to deal with.
I guess it would be especially challenging when you have a patient who's on a more complex pill regimen. There may be the patient may have to take 5, 6, 8 pills a day at different times and different dosages. So it can get a little bit complicated.
Yeah, it gets complicated. Also, you know, memory issues, right? What's interesting, we're actually working on dementia research at Rush University in Chicago. And this is going to sound crazy, but it's possible. Imagine if patients with dementia could walk up to a unit with no directions and dispense the medications without understanding how the device even works. Because there's a thing that we're testing at Rush, which is their immediate and delayed recall. Where we show them how the device works, and then we test them on, does the patient remember 5 minutes, 30 minutes, and can they process that and repeat it? And what was interesting is with these patients with mild to moderate dementia, every single one of them was successful. And the implications to this technology are far-reaching for many, many, many chronic diseases based upon these initial data sets of dementia, which we plan to expand out with some additional government funding.
The Hydo unit, as you've just explained to us, it's a tabletop unit. It's one that essentially manages your many medications. This is not a unit, for instance, for someone who takes like one pill a day. You don't need a unit like this, right?
That's correct. Yeah, this is for patients that have chronic disease and are struggling to manage or stabilize their disease state. And they're typically could have 5 to 7, you know, sometimes people have up to 20 different medications. And the goal of this device is to deprescribe. So that's something that the audience might not be familiar with, but we actually want you to get off of additional medications. And the only way to get off those additional medications is by being a high utilizer of the most important medications you're taking. So if you take the medications as prescribed and at a very high adherence threshold, then you can start removing other medications because those are making up for the lack of efficacy of the medications you're supposed to be taking in the first place.
Let's come back to the test that they're doing at Rush University with the dementia patients. It seems to me that with the success of those trials with dementia patients, you are handing back to a dementia patient a little bit of freedom, independence, personal dignity that so often dementia steals from those who are afflicted with the disease. What are the next steps in terms of making you know, making this device available more broadly in the dementia community.
Yeah, we are doing some research with several different universities that I can't announce yet, but we are looking to continue to validate with dementia patients and underserved populations across all genders, races, and geographic locations. And the implications are, once this validation occurs, you know, you named it, you know, patients with dementia, why don't we enable them to have dignity, have some independence and freedom, and not be dependent solely on their caregivers? There's a whole lot of burden that is created because of these situations, because their memory is fading. If we can take something off their plate so they can just enjoy a little bit of happiness every single day, or maybe step out and enjoy the sun, I want to do everything in our power just to enable a little bit of happiness when everything has fallen around them.
Coming back to why patients don't take the medications, you know, cultural considerations might be part of it. For instance, I know in Japan, there's a huge market for in-home medical devices. And it seems as though the Japanese are, even though they've got a superb medical system, they enhance that medical system by having a lot of in-home medical devices. And this can be something as simple as a blood pressure medication, a blood oxygen device, that kind of thing. But so my question to you is, are your tests at this point only here in the United States, or are they in other countries? Because, you know, it seems to me there might be higher uptake in a country like Japan, for instance, which already has this great tradition of in-home medical devices and personal care, personal responsibilities. So do you find that, you know, there are different cultures that are maybe a little bit more responsible in taking care of their personal health, as it seems to be the case in Japan? And maybe here in the United States, there are lessons to be learned there?
Yeah, I mean, we would be very open to a potential collaboration in Japan. So if there was a pharmaceutical company or a home care technology company that would like to partner to try this device, I think that, you know, the Japanese tend to be forward thinking in some of these new technologies in the home. So that would be a very, very intriguing. In regards to different minorities or segments in the market, I think that, you know, we haven't developed enough data sets to really delineate the differences from a performance standpoint. There's still more research to be concluded. What we've seen so far across the board, again, in limited data sets, were dramatic decreases in hospitalizations, readmissions, as well as emergency room visits. What you want to look at is actually the foundation of the individual person. Mm-hmm. You know, where are they performing now? And then where have we bumped them up to? And a lot of that can be measured in their lab work. And you can, you know, you really want to look at the framework of that individual person. As long as they're actually improving over time, that is the most important thing. And that's the fundamental shift. When the HIDO is deployed in the home, you have the pre-stuff that happened, you know, all those irregularities and home medication errors. And then now that everything's stable, you know, across the board, we've seen people improve. They either can breathe when they couldn't breathe before. They have better lab work and now they're exercising or going trips. You have people that were, you know, bound by wheelchair and dependent upon their wife as the caregiver, have freedom to do what they want during the day and not be dependent on others. So there's just a lot of independence and freedom that's enabled through this device. And that's why we're so excited to push this out in the marketplace.
Well, of course, I'm a baby boomer, and my generation is one which is entering those golden years. And as the generation enters those golden years, there are fewer and fewer caregivers who are available, and that trend, I guess, is only going to continue. So it would seem to me that HIDO and medication management system like this is the right thing at the right time and the right place, it would seem to me. But how do we re-educate the American public to get them thinking a little bit more like the Japanese think, about maybe taking a little bit more responsibility for their personal care? How do we do that, Charles? How do we engage the American public and make them think that, you know, while my nurse or my doctor, obviously I'm always in contact with them and I see them, you know, once a quarter or once every 6 months or whatever, how do we instill in the average American, particularly the baby boomers, how do we instill in them a sense of personal responsibility to get familiar with these technologies, to manage your own health? How do we do that?
Yeah, I think it can be overwhelming for a lot of baby boomers when there's the advent of new technology. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I can say is that if you know going into this that there's the unlikelihood of having somebody to be able to assist you, and do you want to maintain your independence and freedom, and the cost that it costs for assisted living and additional services, if they're not available or if they're cost prohibitive, that means you have to look upon yourself and look in the mirror and figure out a low cost alternative. Mm-hmm. So what I would, you know, press upon the next generation that is retiring and entering into the golden years is that you need to adopt these new technologies, because there probably is not going to be someone there to help you. Mm-hmm. So enable yourself to live a long, healthy, happy life. And if we can do something to assist you, let us know.
I know that the Hido device is one that is AI, artificial intelligence enabled. Does it also include a speaking capability, is that coming down the road? Will the unit be actually able to speak to the patient?
Yeah, so there's a couple of components that we designed on the device for a particular purpose. One, there's a very large screen. So for people that have visual impairment or need ADA compliance, they can visualize and see on the unit. The other is we have a speaker and microphone. So there is a speaking capability. The goal is to actually do video messaging with a clinician or with a caregiver on the unit, because loneliness is also a very big problem, not just in the United States, but around the world. So if you're able to push messages directly to one piece of hardware in the device in the home versus 15 other gadgets, it makes things very, very easy for people. And if the easy button is through Hido and you can get everything, your source information, the videos and your medications through it, it makes it for a much better experience for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. There was one stat which I recall you mentioning in one of the, it may have been your TED talk, where you talked about 1% consumes 39% of the cost.
Total.
Give us that stat. Share that with our listeners, because it's a very compelling stat. And if ever our listeners needed a stat which would persuade them that they've got to take personal responsibility, because if they don't, it's only going to get more expensive. And this is in part why pharmaceuticals and prescription drugs are so expensive. Please restate that stat.
So 1% of the patients out there consume 39% of the cost of care. They use it through medications, hospitalizations, readmissions, emergency room visits, clinic visits. So if you're not controlled in your medications, there's a flywheel effect that happens where you continue to utilize those services. And it's not in your interest. Nobody wants to go to the hospital. Nobody wants to go to the ER. I mean, as far as I checked, nobody wants to go to their doctor once a month just to go say hi. So if you can eliminate that so you can continue to live your life, then there's an alternative just by simply making sure your medication regimen is consistent. So this really comes down to consistency and having that personal accountability of, if you're taking the right medications at the right times, a lot of those unnecessary visits and utilization will unfold.
Mm-hmm. I was reading that within the team of your medical professionals, doctor, physician's assistant, nurse, the most trusted member of that team consistently is always the nurse. Why is that?
Well, the nurses get a lot of time with patients in the clinic, in the hospital, and doctors are pressed for a very limited window of time because they have a certain bandwidth that's acceptable and a certain patient population that they have to manage. So I believe that nurses have more time to spend with patients and really develop the trust and the relationship with a particular person. So I had a family member recently that was in the hospital, and the amount of time that was spent by the nurses was significant. I did not see a doctor while I was in the hospital visiting. It's not to say that they weren't there,
sure,
but they're rounding on a great amount of patients, whereas nurses, they have specific rooms that they're assigned to. And it's a different element of the utilization.
Mm-hmm. Well, Charles, in the remaining few minutes of the podcast, what are your closing thoughts about adoption and medication adherence?
Yeah, I believe if people are looking to live a very fruitful, happy life, improve their quality of life, it really comes down to stabilizing medications in the home. If you're managing a chronic disease, if you have a family member, a loved one, a neighbor, you know, friends that you care about, it is mission critical to make sure that you're taking the right medications, the right time, and the right dosage so you can enjoy your golden years.
Mm-hmm. And Charles, what additional new projects are you working on at this time?
Yeah, so we have some pretty exciting things that are happening in the background. There's a number of very interesting research projects when it comes down to dementia and pushing the envelope on enabling people to be independent and having that freedom in the home. So that hasn't been formally announced yet. So TBD. Also, potential relationships with health plans where we're driving down the total cost of care for those at-risk chronic care patients is also, TBD. Another interesting aspect is I've been focusing a little bit on drug GPT, which is essentially figuring out the right medications for the right type of patient and the right disease state. So I think that there's going to be more talk about that, more to come in the near future.
Mm-hmm. And how can our listeners follow you?
So please visit Hido Health, H-I-D-O, health.com, or please look me up on LinkedIn. It's Charles Gellman, G-E-L-L-M-A-N, and leave a note.
Okay. And do you have an X handle?
I cannot recall what it is, so I don't go there very often.
Okay. Well, actually, you know what? I will check it out. I'll try to find it and post it also, because often our listeners like to follow folks on X. And, of course, Instagram, Facebook, I assume you're there too.
Sure.
Okay, very good. Well, Charles Gellman, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Jim, for your time.
And for our listeners, today's episode is number 513. Listen to us on Apple, Spotify, Pandora, 18 platforms, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And join our global audience in 60 countries. FeedSpot has recognized us as a top 25 California news podcast, ranking us number 12. This has been the San Francisco Experience Podcast with Jim Herlihy, coming to you from San Francisco. We'll